Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Girl Who Belonged to the Sea by Catherine Quinn. Narrated by James Cavanaugh and Gillian Yetter. The Exile. For the first time in 1,000 years, the man crafted of neither flesh nor bone heard a voice, a prayer cast to the seas. It carried on an impatient breeze, muffled yet brimming with urgency, the speaker's sweet timbre awakening a heart that had long since ceased to beat. The plea was so passionate that it jolted the man from bed, his silk coverlet pooling at his waist in a puddle of ivory. A prayer. The man couldn't remember the last time he'd been gifted with such a delicate thing. Not since, well, not since he'd been stripped of all that he was. The man had endured countless solitary years hiding behind the faces of others, and now he hardly remembered what his true face looked like. His brother was to blame for that. It wasn't the man's fault he wanted the sea for himself, that he desired to be its only ruler. He wanted his name whispered on sailors' lips, their lovers murmuring his name as they prayed for their husbands and wives to return to them safe and whole. He hadn't wished to share the throne, and his greed had been his downfall, his punishment, for his memory to be wiped from the earth. That was no matter now. The man, the god who'd been imprisoned in the body of a mortal, felt the stirrings of hope. If this prayer had reached him, then that would mean the person he'd waited patiently for had finally come, that soon, he'd be released from his captivity. Please, the voice whispered, I cannot bear the thought of staying with my father any longer, cannot fathom being under his cruel thumb for another moment. A wicked smile quirked the man's lips. He shut his eyes, indulging in the desperate melody of her voice. I want so much more than this life. As the woman spoke, her voice soft and full of dulcet lilts, an image began to form behind his closed lids. He glimpsed a rocky cliff shrouded in haze, a towering keep of impenetrable stone, an island of bronze and industry. And amidst the distorted vision, the man saw her, the woman who had reached him when no others had been able. A woman who was so much more than she seemed behind that innocent beauty. He could see what she hid beneath her flesh, what was invisible to any who did not know what to look for. What he saw set fire to his blood. So the man got to work, turning the knob of his lantern and fumbling for the red tomes scattered amidst the chaos of papers and crudely drawn sketches, years of ideas and failed plans. Flipping through the worn and stained pages of the ancient text, he landed upon an image of the island that had haunted him for centuries, an island that, up until a couple decades ago, protected a dangerous relic that could turn the tide in the man's favor. And fate had just shown him the mortal woman who would help him find it. I long to be free. The voice begged in the distance, and the man's smile flourished, a plan forming in his mind. All he had to do was align the right pieces and play the pawns already on the board. And then he would have not only his vengeance, but a fierce weapon to command, a weapon his brother would never see coming. He would finish what he started over 1,000 years ago, though, this time, it would end with him sitting on the one true throne. His brother's blood spilled at his feet. Oh, I hear your prayers, little one, and soon you will get your wish.
Chapter 1. Margaret. Margaret Wood had been locked inside her father's iron contraption so many times that she should have been used to its rusted spikes, pungent rot, and the absence of light once he shut the door. It was her penance for misbehaving, he claimed, a way to cleanse her soul. But it was no more than a coffin, a vicious device he used for control. When her father slammed the door, trapping her where dreams went to die, Margaret prayed to all the gods she could think of. Arios, the god of spring and new beginnings, and Delia, goddess of wisdom and protector of the pure of heart. She even prayed to the wrathful god of war and vengeance, Carrion. Yet only when she envisioned the sea, wild and unapologetically savage, did she receive any kind of answer at all. Trapped in the dark with nothing but her sinking hope, she chased after the elusive sound of the waves. It was soft at first, nothing but the gentle thrum of the waters meeting the shore. Margaret closed her eyes and held on to that melody like a lifeline. Soon her body trembled and her heartbeat slowed, and then the song swelled. The moment the waves became a roar in her ears, she released her prayers with a heart-wrenching hope. She wished to be far from her father, begged for a life that was not her own, pleaded to be free. When the door to her box opened hours later, her father's wicked face staring back at her, the ethereal song came to an abrupt end. While he'd done his best to weaken her, to rob her of her courage, Margaret left that day, clinging to a scrap of hope her father couldn't touch. The sea had whispered a reply, a single, haunting word. Soon. It had been 5 days since Margaret emerged from the box and left her father's study. 5 long days, and still her body buzzed with apprehension and promise. Almost as if the god of the sea had truly heeded her prayers. Now she was being called back to the study, urged on by Adina, her lady's maid, who snapped at her heels like an anxious hound. And hurry she did, for every wrong Margaret committed, each act of rebellion, would not only be her punishment to bear, not since her father turned his attention to her younger sister Bridget, or Birdie, as Margaret fondly nicknamed her. A thin layer of perspiration dampened her skin by the time she arrived. Lifting a closed fist, she knocked on the heavy wooden door, biting her lower lip as she awaited a reply. "Come." Margaret flinched, her father's voice unusually light. Pushing inside, she found the notorious sea captain of Prius lounging in his chair, his booted feet propped against the mahogany desk, littered with maps and trade records. His short flaxen hair and matching beard were sprinkled with age, white streaks interwoven throughout the strands, his square jaw prominent and masculine. But it was the cutting edge of his gaze that could fell a man with one look. "Daughter, sit." He waved her over to one of 2 plush blue seats before him. A devilish smile curled his thin lips, a malicious twinkle sparkling in his steel-gray eyes that promised nothing but torment. Margaret had always been told that her hazel eyes and golden skin came from her mother. If only she could have met her. Hesitantly, she slid onto the cushion, her muscles tensing as her father's gaze swept across her body from behind his desk, his forefinger and thumb pinching his graying beard in thought. Uneasy moments ticked by before he spoke, but when he did, she had to grab hold of her chair to keep from falling over.
"You're to be married here at the keep in 2 months' time."
Margaret couldn't help it when a small gasp left her lips, her mouth parting as though a silent scream wished to escape. It was her only reaction. The obedient words she usually reserved for the captain dissipating like dust in a windstorm.
I see you're quite thrilled with the news, then.
He leaned back in his seat, pulling his muscled legs from the polished wood.
I'll give you a moment to process.
Tiny beads of sweat formed along her brow. The air in the room suddenly too hot, too stuffy. Her heartbeat thundered in her ears, a tumultuous staccato that sounded like angry raindrops during a squall.
Who?
She managed to ask, fearful of the answer. Knowing her father, her marriage was to procure some elusive business deal. She would be used for his purposes, however vile they may be, and her opinion on the matter was irrelevant.
Count Caspian,
he said. Of Cartus?
One and the same.
The captain grinned, enjoying the obvious discomfort playing across her features.
Cartus is Marionette's greatest asset for defense, and the Count's military position will do well for us. I'm told he's also a favorite amongst the King and Queen.
This was about influence. As if conquering the seas wasn't enough, the captain now wished to gain the favor of Marionette's rulers through the Count.
And he is quite young, he added, which is lucky for you, meaning you won't soon be made a widow.
She didn't allow her bewilderment to show, but the truth was that she'd believed her reputation suffered too great a blow for any man to look her way after what happened 2 years ago. Then again, her substantial dowry might persuade suitors to overlook her past indiscretions. She swallowed down the tears at the memory of her father's young guard, Jacob, who'd been foolish enough to fall in love with her. They'd been caught in the act by the captain himself, and to her horror, her father had thrust his dagger into the very heart that had once belonged to her. She was to remain pure until the captain found a match for his daughter that suited his needs. But thanks to Jacob, any purity vanished. And yet now, none of that seemed to matter. Pulling herself together, forcing her chin to lift, Margaret addressed the man who relished in the misery with an icy calm. I see, she began, sitting up straighter in her chair. And this has already been decided. The Count has agreed to this as well?
Yes.
He didn't hesitate. And you didn't consult me? The words were out before she had a chance to rein them in. Storm clouds brewed in his eyes.
Consult you?
He let out a mirthless laugh, his eyes drifting to the corner of the study, where his sick contraption hid behind a silk screen. The unspoken threat was obvious.
You should consider yourself lucky I've given you this opportunity,
he seethed.
I was never awarded such a thing.
The captain didn't speak of his past, of his parents, except for once, 5 years ago. Margaret woke in the middle of the night and crept down the stairs, only to overhear him arguing with a man. She hadn't recognized the voice, but before he kicked the stranger out of the keep, her father had told him,
You can slither back into your hovel and tell our dearest parents. I'm merely showing them the same kindness they did me.
The captain caught Margaret that night, and without a word, dragged her to the box and shoved her inside. Only when dawn came did he open the door. They never spoke of the man again.
Don't make this hard on yourself, daughter,
her father said, shaking the memory from her thoughts.
I'd hate for you to receive another lesson so soon after the last.
Margaret shut her eyes, and just like that, she was back inside the confines of the box. Its metal spikes poked at her skin, the smell of her blood fresh in the air. Her breaths quickened as shadows closed in on all sides. Sometimes he'd leave her in there for hours. After Jacob, she'd been trapped for a full day. What would he do if she refused him now? Margaret cleared her throat and opened her eyes, willing away the images that haunted her every waking moment. So many thoughts rushed into her mind that she couldn't think clearly, but one stood out amongst the rest. Perhaps she didn't need to refuse her father. Marriage to the Count of Cartus would change her life, change everything. For better or worse, she couldn't say. But it was a way out of this keep, and a way to flee her father's control. There was just one problem. If I'm to marry Caspian, who will watch over Birdie? You're frequently gone, and the keep is no place for a young lady to live alone. Birdie's mother, Margaret's stepmother, had died 4 years past, and the poor girl still suffered the loss. She needed her older sister now more than ever. Birdie's sweet disposition would never endure under their father's merciless thumb.
Bridget will remain here, he said, under her governess's supervision.
Where she would be his latest victim. Margaret's stomach clenched, a nauseating ache forming. She couldn't let that happen. She had to be brave now, had to find a way to shift this situation to one of advantage. And she knew precisely how. I never ask much of you, Father, she said, nearly choking on the word. But I will ask this of you now, one final gift you can give me as a farewell. He cocked his head, eyes narrowing as he awaited her proposition. I would like Birdie and her governess to come to Cartus when the Count and I set sail for his home. I cannot bear for her to be isolated and far from family. She paused for a single heartbeat. And surely it would benefit you to have her stationed in Cartus. Many influential men and their families settled there. And while Birdie was only 7, her early presence might be advantageous for a power-hungry sea captain. Though Margaret had no plans to ever allow her little sister to be used in such a way. Her father highly underestimated her if he believed otherwise. The captain considered, stroking his trimmed beard as he let time stretch thin. She waited, unmoving in her chair. This was a fear tactic he enjoyed using on his adversaries. Silence. But she wasn't in the mood to play his games.
You actually make quite a good point,
he said, relenting, though his jaw ticked.
I will strike a bargain with you then. Marry the Count without delay, and without any of your theatrics, and Bridget will be allowed to leave with you to Cartus.
Margaret nodded, though she hardly felt herself move. The fact that her father conceded to her request so easily had her wondering what else was up his sleeve, what other little secret he kept close to his charred heart. Thank you, she said, hating the words. If that is all, then I will leave you to your work. Margaret knew better than to leave the study without his permission, and she waited for him to wave his hand in dismissal, that malicious smile still twisting his mouth.
Oh, and daughter,
he interrupted, before she was halfway to the door. She stopped, glancing over her shoulder.
You'd do well to remember the teachings of last week, because if you disappoint me...
He paused as her heart thundered madly. Teachings. It was what he called his punishments. Oh, I never forget, Father, she said, gathering her long skirts and abandoning the captain to his plans. I will never forget. And one day, I hope to make you pay. Chapter 2. Margaret. Margaret found Birdie by the sea. It was a lovely spring day in Prius, the typically humid air graced with a refreshing breeze, one that lifted Margaret's skirts as she padded barefoot across the heated sands. Waves crashed against the shoreline as tiny white birds skipped out of the way before the spray could wet their wings. And the skies. They were the loveliest shade of blue, a blended hue of lapis and sapphire. On days like this one, Margaret wished she'd learned how to swim. Her father forbade her from venturing too close to the waters, and his face would turn a deep shade of purple when she'd argued. She stopped asking years ago. His teachings would have only worsened. A gull screeched overhead, swooping down to graze the tops of the morning burst flowers she passed. As she had little else to do when confined to her chambers, Margaret was afforded ample time to read, though she often sought books pertaining to plants, flowers, and the healing properties found within nature. She'd grown rather adept at identifying flora and fauna, and wondered if she might have made a decent healer in another life. But it was the origin of the bloom, with its bright golden center and delicate violet petals, that intrigued her. Legend held that fortunate sailors brought the flower back from the lost island of Azantian. Margaret had heard the tales of the mythical island more times than she could count. The sailors in her father's employ, eager to fill the time spent on dry land with stories of the sea. The story of Azantian was a favorite amongst the men, an island created by the sea god, where the sands were fashioned from the purest gold and the waters gleamed aquamarine. It was a realm of ethereal beings of immense beauty, entrusted with guarding the gates, imprisoning the sea's nefarious children, monsters born from the depths. But much like the gruesome sea serpent in her childhood lore, Azantian was a myth crafted for the naive and the youthful. Margaret was neither. Tilting her face to the sun, she took in a quiet moment, soaking up the day's warmth and its fearless light. With the rushing waves in the background and the sounds of the gulls overhead, she willed away thoughts of her father and his decree, pretending that, just for one moment, she was someone else entirely. Seconds later, that fragile piece shattered like broken glass. Someone was watching her. She could all but feel the eyes upon her skin. A rush of awareness caused the hairs on the back of her neck to rise in alarm. She scanned the beach, the uneasy sensation growing stronger with each new breath. The beach was empty, and the only other person she sighted was Peter, one of her father's most trusted guards. He stood watch beneath the fronds of a palm, his attention solely on the sands just ahead where Birdie played. Still, Margaret couldn't shake what she'd so plainly felt.
Margaret!
Birdie jumped up from her blanket and rushed across the beach, her blonde curls tossing in the sea wind. With a radiant smile, she crashed into Margaret, wrapping two thin arms around her waist. All thoughts of danger fled Margaret's mind the moment she enfolded Birdie in her embrace. The small sprite had the gift of chasing all worries away. Hello, little bird. Margaret wound her fingers through those unruly blonde strands. I missed you this morning. Birdie grumbled a reply, voice muffled by the thick fabric of Margaret's gown. She caught only two words, pancakes and strawberries. Adina must have prepared her favorite treats for breakfast. Withdrawing, Birdie clutched Margaret's hand, dragging her across the dunes to a coarse blanket laid out on the sands, a wind-tossed umbrella providing the sanctuary of shade.
Come sit with me.
Birdie's voice played in harmony with the crashing waves, the sweet timbre as lively as the playful breeze. Margaret's smile felt genuine for the first time that day as she took her place on the blanket. Birdie instantly crawled into her lap.
What did Father wish to speak to you about?
Birdie asked.
Adina told me not to pester you, but she was extra sour today.
She wrinkled her upturned nose. Adina was often in a foul mood. Gods, Margaret couldn't recall a time when she wasn't. Brushing her sister's hair from her piercing blue eyes, she asked, How would you feel about coming with me to Cartus? Birdie squinted up at her.
Cardis? Why would we go there?
Margaret sighed, tightening her arms around Bertie's middle. I'm to marry Count Caspian in 2 months' time, and you, my little one, are to come to his island with me. That is, if you wish. Bertie paused to consider, her mouth twisting in thought.
Are the beaches in Cartus as pretty as the ones here?
Margaret nodded. Though she'd only ever seen drawings of Cartus in books, she'd heard about the island's beauty from the lips of others.
And I would get to be with you. Father will allow it.
Bertie might be young, but she sensed the darkness in their father. How could he be joyous one moment, and a storm of ruinous rage in the next? Bertie was right to be guarded. Margaret tilted Bertie's chin.
I will always be beside you, no matter what happens or where our journey in this life leads, Margaret vowed.
And yes, I have Father's permission. A glorious grin brightened Bertie's face, rosy lips stretching wide.
Then I can't wait for our new adventures. And hopefully, I'll get a new governess. Mistress Sophia has breath a dragon would reel away from.
She chuckled as Bertie stretched across the blanket and rested her head on Margaret's lap, her eyelids shutting against the blinding sun. It didn't take long before her chest rose and fell in steady breaths, worn from her earlier adventures frolicking along Prius's coast. Taking in the wild sea, wishing she could, for once, have adventures of her own choosing, Margaret's calm began to dissipate. That same sensation of being watched returned, although this time, her body flooded with ice, even in the rising heat of the day. Careful not to wake Bertie, Margaret craned her neck, scanning the sloping dunes and bent palms. Nothing but swaying grasses and skittering birds. She was being paranoid. No one would dare follow the captain's daughter, not if they valued their life. Margaret shook her head, feeling foolish. Soon she would be free of Prius, free of the captain. She only had to survive long enough to marry the count and lead her sister to a new life. A better one. Chapter 3. Margaret. Perched on the tips of her toes, Margaret peered over the ledge of her father's keep, the movement sending an errant pebble tumbling to the rocks 100 feet below. Her life of unwedded bliss would meet its end today. She and Bertie would sail away for Cartus, and Margaret would have a husband. She grimaced at the thought and squeezed her eyes closed, instead focusing on the way the waters sang to her from below. The winds shifted, their tangy scent wafting away, replaced by the sweet smell of morning bursts. Margaret gazed out over the city one last time, her stomach in knots for the journey ahead. She'd always felt so conflicted about Prius, now even more so that she was meant to leave. The renowned trading hub was a world of bronze and copper, and the rich chestnut wood of the Marionette Forest. Rosy pinks, divine cobalts, and sweet lavenders dyed the buildings, each one assembled atop the other, stacked like sea stones at twilight. For most everyone but her, the city was an enchanting realm of sea spray and untarnished dreams, a glimmering coastal port that led to the stunning continent beyond, a place where people lived and thrived.
Margaret!
Adina's shrill voice snaked up the steps, severing Margaret's connection to the sea. The reality of the day crashed against the stone of her heart, eroding the last of her dwindling resolve.
Margaret, where are you, child?
After saying goodbye to the waves one last time, Margaret turned for the stairs, silently praying for a miracle, for the god of the sea to whisk her and her sister far away from here. She was nearly to the steps when a piercing horn shattered the calm, the waves below turning violent as they crashed against the rocks. She halted.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?